Hallelujah. We're going to start in Hebrews. I think we'll start at one verse and go backwards a little bit. But let's start in Hebrews chapter 5. And I'll read in verse 12. This is not the heart of what I'm trying to teach today, just the end. So rather than having you wait for the conclusion, I'll give it to you first. Hebrews 5 verse 12 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." Say milk. Say not solid food. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now, remember in Hebrews, who is he talking to? Hebrews is talking to a group of saved Jewish believers who are trying to be pulled back under the law and are also being, not only themselves, but if they go, they'll take people with them back under the law. So the writer of Hebrews is trying to convince them, don't go back under the law. And not just convince them, don't go back under the law, but also that it's dangerous to go back under the law. And the reason he's picking on them, you know, if someone comes up to you, prayer center believer, and says, "You're just a babe. You're just a little baby. All I can give you is milk." We're going to be insulted. Like, who are you calling a baby? And I remember after I prayed in tongues for a while, I thought I knew more than most people. Then I realized I didn't. This is really an explanation more than an insult, okay? The having to have an outside source to teach you. See, here's what I want us, I guess, to start with. We kind of have an idea, or I did, I'll use myself, that we all start because of the Word of God and because of salvation, that we all begin at the same place. How many know that my born-again nature is not any more superior than yours, and yours is not more superior than mine? And my born-again nature and my born-again spirit body and spiritual mind has the capacity to know God just as well as the most greatest teacher in the world of the Scripture. Because, say, Gary Carpenter is called to be a teacher, it doesn't allow him the luxury of knowing God better than me, who's called to be maybe a pastor or someone who's called to be in administration or someone who's called to be in business. All of us have the responsibility, if not just the ability, but the responsibility to know God at the same level. We may operate differently, and our giftings allow us, and our callings allow us special ability in a sense to operate outwardly, but not inwardly. Inwardly, every one of us has the ability to grow into God as far as the next guy. Amen? So with that knowledge, I found in myself, I thought, okay, we all start up here. We all start out in perfection. I'm born again. I got a new nature. I got everything. Everything's ready. I'm provided for. God's my provider. And when I was lacking in things, to me, it was called unbelief. Okay? And unbelief to me meant I dropped something. Something I had, I dropped. When I suffered in my health, it was unbelief. Because I didn't receive my miracle the next morning, because I went through it, I'm dropping something. I lost something I had, was my mentality. See, because I looked at who I was in the spirit, and how many know who we are in the spirit, we each of us has the equal ability to reach a place in God as anyone else. Say amen. If you say amen, I know you're with me. Okay. All right. But what's different is not just that you receive the new nature, but you have a fleshly body, a fleshly mind, natural emotions that are different than the guy next to you. So that's what makes you different. And what I've learned in this circumstance that I'm going through now is a better way to articulate. It's a big word. The process of maturing in God. It's not that we drop things. It's that each of us have bigger battles in specific areas. Because in the natural body, the natural man that you're born into is different than the guy next to you. No one in the world is in your shoes. Now, one example I'll use because it really makes it clear to me is, if you don't know already, I suffered a stroke about a year and a half ago. I am recovering and fully going to gain everything back. The devil can't win, amen? But in the therapy room, there's a few people who had strokes that are going to therapy. And I remember having fun with one guy. He'd come in and we'd compete. He'd come in and I'd be doing push-ups and different things. And I'd be at number 25 and he'd come in and I'd be 125, 126. You know, he's like, Alan, did you do the bike already? Yeah, I did that for an hour and a half. You know, so if he came in before me, it'd be the opposite. We'd compete that way. And there was one fellow who was a little bit older than me that was walking out of his recovery, and he'd walk out of the room. He came in with a cane but walked out without one. And I remember telling the therapist, I said, I'm going to catch up to him. I'll be walking out of here soon. And the therapist said, well, he's only 2 months along, you know, on his stroke. And you know, I'd already been 5 months along at the time and still riding my wheelchair a little bit. And so you can't compare strokes because every stroke is different, okay? And I'm using that very intimate example to share with you. You cannot compare your battle with the person next to you, even if it's the same title, finances, family, marriage, emotions. You can't compare because you have a unique flesh body, flesh mind, body mind, natural emotions. You grew up in your family. You grew up in your body. You grew up in your upbringing. So your battle to overcome certain things may be a mountain bigger than the person who overcame it. And explain this, I'm trying to share that you are unique in every single way. Yes, by the new nature, you have been born of God and everything is available to you. But when you find yourself lacking in the Word, because what's happened to most believers is they've accepted a shallow walk with God where we quote the Word of God as who we are supposed to be, okay, instead of who we can be. Let me say that again. We quote the Word of God as who we're supposed to be instead of who we can be. So when I face a situation in my finances, I can begin to quote the Word. You know, he became poor that I might become rich. So we start to acknowledge that this is possible. But if you do it the wrong way, you will say, I'm failing because I'm not walking above poverty. I'm failing because I'm not walking above health situations or marriage situations or children situations or financial situations. I'm failing. But instead of saying you're failing, you should say, I quote the Word because that is what is possible for me. It's not that I'm lacking because my mountain may be bigger than yours and your mountain may be bigger than mine. So when someone comes up and you know they say, my finances were going down and I believe God and poof, glory to God, someone gave me $1,000. You know, and you said, well, what's wrong with me? I can't even get, you know. Well, your circumstances, your situation, your upbringing, your mindset of the natural mind, it can be different than the person that gave the testimony. or I had an emotional depression. I fought with depression, but I told that devil, get out, and it left, and I've been happy ever since. Never had a blue day since. And you're wondering, what's wrong with me? I fight those blue days every day. And you wonder, what I must lack where they have gained. But truth is, you're on a road of maturity of your new man to grow to a place where you can overcome. But your mountain may be bigger, so it may take you farther, longer in that one area that you're dealing with than the guy next to you, because you are unique in your upbringing, in your battles. You know, you may have been raised in a crazy home and a dysfunctional home. And so your battle may be different than the guy who had a nice home. So looking at this, let's go back to verse 14. I wasn't really going to try to preach all this, but we're here. So, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of what? Use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay. Now we're talking, he's talking to a bunch of pretty ethical, holy people here. See, I want us to focus on good and evil. He's not talking about smoking and not smoking. He's not talking about drinking and getting drunk or drinking grape juice. He's not talking about here, I don't believe, the difference between sin, worldly sin, and as evil, evil, worldly sin, smoking, drinking, and all those things. Remember, we can look at, you can look in the natural mirror today. Go when you did your hair in the looks like everyone did the hair in the bathroom mirror today. And you're looking in the mirror. And you can look at the top 10% of your problems and see them clearly, okay? Remember, an iceberg is, when you see the iceberg floating above the water, 90% of that iceberg is below the water. That's like your flesh or your mortal body. You can acknowledge and see and analyze and focus on the 10%. Say, yeah, I should, you know, I'm smoking or I'm drinking or I'm, you know, cheating on my taxes, or I lie a little bit, I fib, I'm jealous. You can look at the top 10% and say, that's my problem. But really, the problem of your body, of your natural body, or the flesh goes down deeper than that. It goes a whole 90% that you don't see. And that's why just relying on what you know and saying, I've got it finished, I'm complete. There's a lot of Christians walking around who've conquered the top 10%. And they're walking around thinking they're good. But really, everything, this is what I want to see. When he says good and evil, this is what I want you to see. Everything that comes from your natural body in the eyes of God is evil. Even the good part that we call good, it's still evil. Only those things that come from the Spirit in God's eyes is good. See, you can act good, but if it's not from the Spirit, in God's eyes, it's not good. Because here, what's happening is they're being pulled in, not by temptation into worldly sin. They're not being pulled in to, in this group, you can read about them in Hebrews 10, this group is not being pulled away from God by temptations into the brothels and into the bars and into the dance halls. They're being pulled away from God into religious works. And the good part of the flesh is more dangerous than the bad part of the flesh. Because you can look at the top 10% of your struggles and go, that's bad. That's bad. I need to quit that. God, help me to quit that. Help me to quit this. But there's 90% underneath that you don't see that's masked in goodness. But in God's eyes, it's still a product of the flesh. And that's what we're talking about today. Because here he says, for everyone, verse 13, who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, who have exercised. See, they've exercised their senses. Or another way of saying this, have wrestled with their senses and have made them submit to the Word of God. So let me give you some examples here. Sean, why don't you come on up? Jake, will you come up if you would? I didn't bring my rope today. I wasn't going to go here, but we'll just, maybe you can remember. Go ahead and stand on the stage. Take your spots. I got an X and an O for you up there. I'm teasing, but you know where to go. So Sean represents your inner man, amen? And every person born, every child born, is born with an inward body and an outward body. And these are two twins. They're conjoined twins, is the way of putting it. They're born at the very first, at conception. They are birthed together and built together at the same pace, cell for cell. And that's every part of your natural body has an inward body that's made of spirit. The reason is because man was never supposed to fall. Do you know we were never supposed to go to heaven? We were never supposed to go to hell. We were supposed to live forever on this earth. Our natural body was complete, full agreement with the spiritual body. Together, they were one. They were conjoined twins. So if you look at our two twins up here, go a little closer, guys. Now, just you have to imagine with me, these are twins, all right? And when this guy looks in the mirror, in the bathroom, he sees Jake. Okay, Jake's face. That's what he would see in the mirror. But if you looked to God, God looks past Jake, and he looks to the inward man, because that's who you really are. Now, when you were born again, you received a new nature. The new nature brought to life. The new nature, or another word of it, of the new nature, is righteousness. Was brought to life the inward man, but not the outward man. And somehow, God amazingly, it's like, do you ever see Mr. Potato Head? Do you ever see that little guy where you take the ears off and the nose off and you can move it around? How many know what I'm talking about? Okay. It's amazing miracle what God did to be able to take you like a Mr. Potato Head and piece by piece take off of you what came from Adam and replace it with what came from him. And the end result is you, through this process, live forever. You, through this process, get all new parts. The full end of adoption is when you receive a new body. And this old body is of the dust. Everything that came from Adam will be left and burnt. And God begins anew with his children, a new earth and a new universe. So these conjoined twins, you bowed your knee, the new nature came into you, and you received a new life. Life and light shone out of the new nature and brought life to the inward body. The inward man, now, look at these two. Now imagine conjoined twins. The two, I remember they called Siamese twins, I don't remember their name, but they were joined at the waist. There's some, you ever see pictures of conjoined twins at the head? And at the chest, you know, they're conjoined at different places. And so here you got two, these guys are conjoined. And the reason is because until adoption is complete, they're still stuck together. That's why when you hear the song, I'm free to dance, I'm free to worship. And so you get excited. The preacher says, you are a child of God. You are free from sin. You are free from depression. The Word of God says. And so it tells you who you can be, but the problem is we think it's who we already are. See, and this is what I mean. So we start to celebrate in our inner man, I'm free. Glory to God, I'm free to worship, I'm free to dance. So we start running off and celebrating, but all of a sudden something yanks us back. It's the twin, the body, the natural body that's full of dysfunction and ideas and problems. Are you with me still? Okay. So these two are conjoined, right? Look at them at their mind. Today we'll talk a bit about their mind. So imagine these two have a piece of skin joining their heads right now. They're joined together. And from their heart, they're joined together too. That's the emotions. Do you know there's emotions in your spirit? love, joy, peace. When you enter into real worship, like when you enter into real worship, do you understand that the emotions that can come from your spirit man start to push out and push away the emotions that come from your flesh? Because in heaven, we walk around spiritual until we get new bodies. So all of our relatives and friends who are in heaven right now, how many know that they don't have a natural body? Their natural body, we buried and blessed and celebrated them going to heaven. So they're in heaven right now. How many think they left their emotions behind? They left their brains behind, so they must not be able to think. They left their emotions behind, their heart behind. Maybe they can't feel. Maybe they're just little inner bodies just sitting there like Play-Doh waiting until something happens. Or are they running around heaven having fun? Are they sitting there at the throne worshiping and crying at the feet of Jesus? Not tears of sadness, but tears of just celebration of how good he is, see? And so are they worshiping and laughing and having a great time in heaven? Are they celebrating, or are they just Play-Doh up there? Right? I mean, that's a legitimate question. They have their emotions up there. There's emotions of your spirit body and emotions of your natural body. They used to be joined together, the same, because your nature was darkness. But when the nature of darkness was pulled out of you and put to death, God replaced it with a nature of light and life. And that nature, called righteousness, brought to life and lit up your inward man, but left your outward man alone. And he doesn't like it, because your outward man understands religion. Your outward man, the flesh, understands God up in heaven. But the inner man understands God as a father. When I was in Canada one time, years ago, Harrison was tiny, Ava was really tiny, and we were with my mom and dad, Harrison's grandpa and grandma. And we were out at the mall or park somewhere, and someone came up to my dad, Harrison's grandpa, and said, "Hey, Ken, how are you?" And Ken, my dad, said, "You know, hey, I'm doing good." And they talked, and later, a few minutes later, Harrison tugged on my shirt and said, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." I said, "What, son? What, Daddy?" "Yeah. Does Grandpa have a name?" And I said, "Well, yeah, his friends call him Ken." "Okay." Now, he was, you know, young, so probably 5 at the time. And then a few hours later, we're at the house, and I sat down. Harrison came, snuck up to me and tugged on my shirt again, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." And you can tell his little brain had been working. And he said, "Daddy, do you have a name?" And I said, "Yes, my name is Daddy." And I said, "Son, before you were born, my friends called me Alan. That's the only name I had. But the day you were born, I became Daddy. And because you were born, for the rest of my life, I get to be Daddy." See, and the thing is, in the Old Testament, God was only God. And you can read about how he had to rule or deal with carnal creatures called humans. But he was God to them. See, they understood God. In their carnality, in their unsavedness, they understood God as God. And they even called him Father, but he really wasn't their father. But they understood a relationship with God built on works, built on earning the relationship, because the process was to prove Jesus coming, not to stay there. But in their flesh, in their natural mind, in their darkness, they understood and were comfortable, and they understood a relationship with God in heaven in their unsaved carnal body. But the moment Jesus was born, God quit only being God, just like I'm no longer only Alan, I'm also Daddy. See, I'm Daddy to my kids. And so your new man, your inner man, now because you're born again, you who are that inner man, you are that spiritual being, you are in that spiritual being, you understand God through your inner man and your new nature, God as a father. But your outer body doesn't know God as a father. It only understands God as God in the Old Testament. And it understands that. It can live in that. That's why there's people all over the world who believe and live in religious thinking and are not born again. Because religious mindset of the flesh is, I do good, God, my God takes care of me. Now, just because you're born again doesn't mean you are free from that, because your flesh did not get born again. Your natural body, your mortal body, did not get born again. So it is always going to strive against you to build a relationship with God on the works, because it understands a relationship with God. It feeds off a relationship with a God of religion. Am I making sense? But your inner man only knows him as Father. So that's why when you go and pray in tongues, your natural mind is unfruitful, because it can't understand what's going on in there. That's why when God speaks to you, it's spiritual to spiritual. That's why when we have worship, there's worship of the flesh, of the body, which gets us emotionally excited, which is okay, but it's not long-lasting. Then there's a worship that comes from your spirit man, which is pure and beautiful, but it's full of emotions too that come from your spirit. So let's look at these two bodies. You have an inner body and an outer body, conjoined twins, and at their brain, at their mind, cell for cell, they're connected. Okay, they're conjoined. Put your heads together, gentlemen, if you don't mind. They're conjoined together. I know they look like misfits. Can you camera get them okay? Okay. I know they look like misfits, but aren't they? Give them a hand clap for help me. Don't go yet. Now, here's what I want you to see. Because my mindset, I understand the word. I'm a word man. I believe in the word. It's been beat into me for 20 years. The word of God is truth. Everything else is a lie. But in my heart, there was an understanding, almost like I'm there already, and everything I don't have, I lose. I've lost. I've failed. Not looking at how dysfunctional of a body I may have. Now, some people are born with healthy bodies. Some people are born with unhealthy bodies. You know, and my dad died at 36 or 39, I'm not sure, and of a heart attack. And the devil tried to kill me with something similar. You have different rules for each of our bodies. Maybe you're born into a bad family. Maybe you're born into bad genes. You know, I hate those guys who are 60 years old and they're slim and their hair is all there and you're like, that's just unfair, you know. And or guys who can eat as much of whatever he wants and not gain weight, and that's so unfair, man. You know, and we all had different everything. But once you're born again, in the spirit, there's not a difference. But your battle to overcome the mortal part of you, the flesh, there is a difference. And that's why it's not that you start on the mountaintop. But here he says, look, verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, all through the New Testament, you can see Jesus call us children. And if you're rebuked by Paul or in the New Testament or the writer of Hebrews, he'll call you a babe or a child instead of growing. He says, by now you ought to be teachers. So in other words, there is a season of time that's given to us to grow up. Because when you're born again, your spirit man, it says, starts out like a child. So this is a good example, but it's not a full example. So Sean, why don't you come sit over here for me? And let me have Connor come up here and Harrison. And let me see. Do I have any young, tiny boys here? Where are we? So let me have, where's the baby? Laura, bring up little Eva, if you would. Now, the Bible says there's no male or female or, you know, so Eva will be a perfect example. So when you're born... Oh, there she's a little liquor. So when you're born again, your inward body comes to life, but look at it. It's a babe. It's a baby. Now, you're still conjoined. Now, imagine a wrestling match between little Eva and big, massive Jake, saying, I am the righteousness of Christ. I am healed. I am prosperous. And the body, natural body, says, no. And so, but this is you when you're born again. A little baby in the spiritual body trying to take over this natural man who tells you every thought. See, every thought, because you're conjoined at the brain, at the mind. You have a spiritual brain and a natural brain. Every thought has two opinions. One of the natural, one of the spiritual. Every emotion has two sources, natural, spiritual. Every will has two sources, natural, spiritual. So you have this natural mind and the spiritual mind. So what does the natural mind eat? Whatever you want. But the spiritual mind, what does it eat? Someone tell me, you know the answer. It's not a trick question. The Word of God. Tacos do not feed your natural spiritual body. As much as we wish it would, I've tried, you know, I blessed it. I thank God for it. Curse every calorie in it. Thank you for feeding my spiritual body this taco. No, it doesn't work. The spiritual body feeds on the Word of God. There's no way to make it grow except the Word of God. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? So you go and you begin to feed yourself the Word of God, and you begin to learn the Word of God, pray in the Holy Ghost, and you go from being a baby to being Connor-sized. Connor, go up there and give Laura and Eva a big hand clap, if you would. Thank you, guys. And then now you're fighting a fight against that mountain of flesh, and this is all you have. See, the Word of God is what you hold up to your flesh, and you say, this is who I'm going to be. It's not saying, I'm failing because I'm not there yet. It's saying, it's possible for me to have what the Word of God says I can have. See, so you feed some more of the Word and learn more of the Word, pray in tongues more, and then you get a little taller. Go ahead, Harrison. Thank you, Connor. Good job, buddy. And you become a little more mature. You begin to able to handle a little more food. You begin to be asked and challenged to do a little more. And one of the messages I think I might preach is about David and Goliath. This is your David and Goliath. He took his stones. I'll preach it when I preach it. But he'll take his stones called praying in tongues. And remember when he whipped that stone and hit Goliath in the head? The stone really knocked out Goliath. He had to take the sword to kill him. And so it's the same thing when you pray in tongues. It gets you to the place to where you're willing to mortify something, to put to death something from your body that doesn't agree with the Word of God. So you pray in tongues some more. You get bigger and taller. Harrison needs a haircut. And then, go ahead, Sean. Thank you, Harrison. Good job, buddy. You pray in tongues and read the Word, and you get a little bigger, a little taller, a little more mature, and you begin to be able to overcome things of your flesh, things of your mortal body, emotions, fear, unbelief, that type of thing. So this is why I want to be clear that when you're in the process of maturing, quit feeling like a failure because you're not there yet. The Word of God is a promise. It allows you to believe something you can't see yet, but it's still possible. It's still already paid for. The price is already paid for. It's not a sentence of failure saying you failed because you're not there yet. You're not walking in all the blessings of God. There's a shallow walk that in America especially, you can walk in prosperity if you're a hard worker. You don't have to be saved. Just be a hard worker. And you can walk in prosperity in America. You can have food on your table. You know that there are some countries that they live off of, I think they even say like 50% of the world lives off of like $2 of food a day. You know, and I mean, you spent that getting your coffee this morning. And that's what they live, feed their whole family on a day. And so in America, we can live in a prosperity and say, God has blessed me, but it not be from the spiritual part of you. It can be from the natural part of you. You can be born with good, healthy genes and lots of hair and whatever. And I'm not saying that, you know, you don't watch what you eat, but I'm just saying you can be born with good genes, like the grandma who's 104 years old. What's your secret? What do you eat every day? Well, every day I have a shot of whiskey, and I eat 4 pieces of bacon at least every day. And you're like, well, how do you live so long? I mean, what's your secret? I got good genes is her secret. So you may be born with things that make it easier. And so what I've discovered is there's a message to the Americans that allow you to live below the war that the enemy brings against revival and below fighting your flesh and do good works for God. You're still saved, going to heaven, but all your blessings can be attributed to the good works of your natural person. But there is a walk of the Spirit out of your spiritual man, which will allow us to walk above everything that the enemy brings against us. I remember I was talking to one man, a very prosperous man, came to visit us, and we were going to, we thought, great, he's taking us out to eat. So we picked a good restaurant, you know. And he said, pick any restaurant, and we're going to take you out. So we were excited. Me and Chrissy went and picked a nice restaurant, you know, because they're buying, you know. It's incredibly wealthy. But the stock market just crashed, and they lost half of their wealth. And they already, even with half their wealth, they have a million more times wealth than me and Chrissy have. And they were in despair. They were like totally, completely looking to us for counsel on how do we walk through this difficult time. And I wanted to say, while we lived by faith, we lived without natural proof every day for 5 years now at the time, and God's provided for us. So I'm not afraid of not having, living without anything, knowing that my provider, my bank is always full when I need it. Because their security, good Christians, was built on their bank account. But as soon as it dropped in half, they were in fear. It was so bad that Chrissy and I bought them dinner. And, I mean, their car is worth more than my house. True story. And I bought them dinner because they were so much in despair. Because their security, what they called God's prosperity and their faith in prosperity, came from natural means. See, not that we don't do natural things to gain prosperity, but there's a difference between trusting in that or trusting in the Spirit. All right, let's go to chapter 4, verse 1. I was going to read chapter 3 too, but we'll just go chapter 4. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Now, here he's not talking about going to the bar. He's talking about going back under religion to the group who are born again believers but are being persecuted. And their stuff's being taken from them, and they're being not the bloodshed yet, but they're being persecuted and trying to be convinced you are not going to heaven until you come back under the law. And he says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Them talking about Israel, Moses' time. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest as he has said. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since, therefore, it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. Say rest.
Rest.
For he who entered his rest has himself ceased from his works, as God also did from his. So the same way God rested on the seventh day after he completed creation is the point that the writer is making. We also must rest, that our works are no longer necessary. We rest in what has already been completed. How many know salvation has been completed? You don't need to go back and sacrifice a lamb. You don't need to build an altar in your backyard. You don't need to celebrate certain feasts anymore. You don't need to do all the laws that were given to the Israel for you to walk in salvation. Say amen to that. And this is what he's talking to. He's talking to that group of people who are trying to be pulled back under the law. Not into the bars, not into drinking, not into someone else's bed in the wrong way, but pulled into church, into a wrong religion. Now, a lot of the American idea of works is confusing because they think law is a standard. If you have a standard of holiness in your church, a standard of living right for God, they think that's just works. That's just works. Well, the works he's talking about here is trying to earn something that God has already given to you. The works that he's talking about is trying to have a relationship with God instead of with a father. Because understand, your body, your natural man, will always push you to build a relationship with God because that is what your flesh understands. Your flesh cannot understand, your natural body cannot understand, your natural mind, your natural emotions cannot understand a relationship with a father because God is the father of your spirit. He's not the father of your flesh. So this is their wrestling, okay? So next time someone tells you, say, you know, you're reading the Word, you got a standard. I remember when I first started out, someone said, yeah, we fast one day a week. You're like, oh my Lord. I'm looking for the halo. That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah, they fast one day a week. You know, or I pray in tongues 10 hours or 20 hours a week. What? Watch them. They're amazing. You know, they're so spiritual. So the next time someone comes up to you and says, you know, all that reading your Bible and all that praying in tongues, all that striving for holiness, that's all just works. That's just works. All you have to do, just imagine back up here, little Eva, standing next to Jake and just say, no, it's not works, it's food. That's food. I'm feeding my inner man. That's not works. It's necessary. Because most Christians will live their entire life with their inner man at the place, at the age of little Eva, 1 year old, just a tiny little infant, a little babe, and live their life trying to say, I believe in the Word of God. The Word of God is true, but never walking in it because they have never grown. How do you grow? It says by exercising the senses. You grab the senses of the natural man, and you grab him by the throat, and you say, shut up. Go ahead, inner man, grab that out, man, by the throat. Say, shut up. Your outward man will say, God won't show up. God's not, you're going to take care of you. You're going to fail. You're not going to get through it. He'll give you a stack of evidence so high of why you're not going to make it. Look at so-and-so. They struggled with what you struggled, and they didn't make it. Look, and they'll give you a whole list. You have to grab that, even if you got a little baby hands, you grab that throat and you say, shut up. I'm not fighting you on my own strength. I'm fighting you with the Word of God. Shut your mouth, flesh. You're a liar. You don't know my Father. Amen. You will never know my Father. See, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Verse 8, for Joshua had given them rest. He would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. He's not talking about resting from things like prayer or fighting for holiness. He's talking about resting from the law, the legalism of Judaism, and resting in, I was born again, I go to heaven, only because I confessed that Jesus was my Savior. That's why, and I believed in my heart, that's all it takes for me to go to heaven now. It doesn't take me going to all the rituals. I don't lose it next week. I did it. For he who has entered his rest has himself ceased from his works as God did from his. So once you've accepted that you're born again, you quit struggling with the fact that you're not born again. But, you know, whenever they're causing trouble in public and you look away like, I don't know who that kid is. Or you tell your wife, go get your kid. Go get your son. You know. And see, God doesn't do that to you. Even in your struggles, even when you're totally laid out because your mortal body has beat the tar out of you and you're laying there defeated. I failed again. I struggled again. He doesn't look at you like you failed. He looks past your natural body and he picks up you and says, come on, let's keep going. I've told you my word. My promise is if you don't give up, you can have whatever the word says you can have. It's a promise of your future. It's not a condemnation of where you are today. Let us therefore be diligent, verse 11, to enter the rest, lest anyone fail according to the same example of disobedience. So he's saying Moses' people disobeyed and spent 40 years in the wilderness and died in the wilderness. We can do the same if we go back under religion. There's two ways you can lose your salvation. There's a long road and there's a very short road. The long road of losing your salvation is if you play with the wrong sin too long, too much. And eventually you'll give up God for that sin because you'll want it more than God. That's a long road. The short road is you go back under religion. You can do that in a moment. Say, because you're giving up on the very thing that allowed you to be saved in the first place, the blood of Christ. Hebrews 10, counting the blood of Christ underfoot, stamping the blood of Christ under your feet. So this is the same group he's talking about. You enter into his rest by believing that your salvation is because of the blood of Christ fully paid for. I don't have to work for it anymore. The hard work of praying in tongues, reading your Bible, these habits every day, this not works as food. I'm feeding my inner man so it will grow and mature so I don't have to stay a babe. I can grow and start eating myself, feeding myself messages from Pastor Dave. I mean, all that I've been preaching on has been birthed out of the Born Again Trail. Just listening to the Born Again Trail allowed me to be one of the smartest preachers in the world and allowed you to be smarter than most preachers just from listening to the Born Again Trail. All right. Yeah, if you get out to preach, just preach the Born Again Trail and everyone go, wow, you're so smart. One time I preached one of Gary's revelations and they said, that's amazing. I didn't give him credit. It's like, yeah, Holy Ghost. For the word of God is living. Now look, okay, verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, that rest. So once you enter it, you want to stay in it. Lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience, just like they did with Moses' time. Then verse 12, for the word of God. Now this is the New King James, but the Old King James says similar. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now think about a sword. I don't know if they have knives that will cut through things like butter. Like you take a piece of meat and you just barely touch it and it will slice right through it. Now most of our kitchen knives, we don't keep them sharp and it's not high quality metal. So, you know, when you buy get 65 knives for $25, you think you're getting a deal, but really it's not that good of a deal. But you can buy a knife for $1,000, one knife, $1,000. But you take that knife and it's sharp, it will cut through meat, like not like butter, hot metal right through butter. And so here he says the word of God is living, say living, and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So sharper than any knife possible. Now stay with me. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow. So think about cutting through a bone, a joint and a bone. The marrow is inside of the bone. Do you understand that? The marrow has a job. It brings life. See, the marrow, I believe, is where your red blood cells come from. So if the body's amazing. So if the marrow inside the bone isn't working, there's no life coming out. Now look at the example of our inner man and our outward man. Now that you're in his rest, you're born again, you have an inward man like marrow that produces life, that oozes life and light, and you have an outward shell, a bone or a joint called your flesh. Because doesn't the body say we have a treasure in earthen vessel? And so here, look at this. Because the appeal to go back under the law is not to the spiritual mind of this person. The appeal to go back under the law is to the natural mind, because the natural mind understands that makes sense. See, what you just told me, I need to go back under everything God said in the Old Testament, because at the time they didn't have the New Testament. I need to go back under what everything God told Moses and Abraham and everything under Moses, under the law, the Ten Commandments. I need to go back under all those things for me to be saved. That makes sense to the natural mind. The natural mind goes, yeah. And at the time they have a little baby inward man that goes, no, the Word of God says, I'm born again. And then the natural man says, that's stupid. Of course, I got the Word of God in the Old Testament that says, just what these Hebrew scholars are telling me, I need to go back under the law. See, and that's the argument. The marrow, the inner man that brings life, is saying, I'm in rest. I'm born again because I have received by faith what Jesus did. But the outward man is screaming with all of its knowledge, natural knowledge. Listen, it's good. We need to do this. Good. This is a good thing. It's in the Word. It's information. So you have an example here of a person who is a babe in the Spirit, trying to be convinced to let go of salvation by grace and walk into a works of the Old Testament law, because the natural man who understands religion, the natural mind understands and feels safe in religion. That's why when I say, how many would like to have 100-fold return and would like to have $100, give me $1 and God's Word says, and I'll pull a scripture out of context, you'll get 100-fold return. The natural man goes, yes, I understand that. 1 = 100. Yes, I can do something and God will give me something back. But entering into rest means we receive every blessing not because of what we do, not because we earn it, but because we've received it by the blood of Christ. Say amen if you're still with me. Piercing even the division of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. So think of joints like a bone, and inside of it is the marrow. That is the life. So here is the example of a natural man, inward man, and an outward body and an inward body. They're conjoined at the brain. So you have two thoughts. One understands religion, one understands fathering. But the one that understands fathering is still young. It's still not been fed, and that's why he rebukes them. Because why? He's saying to them, the only reason you're so quickly pulled into wanting to go under religion is because you're still a babe. You haven't fed your spiritual man enough of the Word to grow up. Now look here, the Word of God, verse 12, is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul. Now that word soul, is the root word is psyche. It's like psychology and spirit. So here's what I want to say. The division here that needs to be seen, he's making the difference between the soul. Now remember, the word soul can mean many things. Just like the word spirit can mean many things. You have to use interpretation to understand what they mean. But the division I believe he's making here is between your natural mind and your spiritual mind. One is of the psychology, the natural thoughts, and one is of your spiritual man, the spiritual thoughts. That the only way you're going to know who you really are is by the Word of God. And the Word of God will come and cut those thoughts. When you have a thought of God told you to do something and you say, I'm not ready. When I had the time where God told me to quit, not preach, and just don't make any money, don't try to make any money, just sit and pray. All the emotions from my natural man were screaming at me, you're going to fail, you're going to starve, you're going to lose everything. And they were overwhelming. But I had this little voice inside of me, my inner man, say, God's my father. It was called peace. You ever have that war between you have a peace in your heart, but a screaming, yelling voice in your head? How many know what that means? How many know what that feels like? And you hear a voice say, you're not ready. He'll do it for so-and-so, but not for you. And maybe you're fighting some emotion or some sickness, and you hear a voice, you're going to die. It's never going to change. But you feel this peace on the inside that says you're on a road to perfect health, not even smelling like smoke. Okay. Well, you have two voices coming from two different minds. One is the mind of the spirit, and one is the mind of the flesh. How can I trust which is God? It's only one way. The Word of God. You take the Word of God and you slice through that confusion, and it will tell you very quickly which is marrow and which is bone, which is spiritual, which is natural. See, here what's so interesting in verse 14 of chapter 5, because it's all connected, is that he calls everything that comes from your natural brain evil. Do you know that every emotion that comes from your natural body, emotion of love, in God's eye, it's evil because it can be broken. In other words, you can love your wife, sing the song to her, I love you, and sing the song and romance her with love. He's such a lover. He loves me. But that same guy will go beat up some other guy down the street. Because the love that comes from the natural man is always self-centered. But the love that comes from your spirit is pure. And it is the God type of love that can be tested and not fail, but it has to grow. And that's what he says. You're like your babes right now. Verse 13 of chapter 5, just for time's sake. Verse 12, we'll go there. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles. So again, you have to be taught because your natural man is trying to agree with what these religious folk are saying. Teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Discern what's coming from the evil part and what's coming from the good part. It comes by exercising. When you feel like you're going to fail, God tells you to do something, you say, I won't do it because I have too much evidence, too much screaming from the natural mind, and you say, but the Word of God says I can do it. So you agree to the Word of God and you wrap that lying voice of your natural mind, you tie it to the Word. And you say, you can struggle all you want, but I refuse to disobey what God has told me to do. No matter how much evidence you want to give me, no matter how much crying you want to say, I refuse to not believe the Word of God is true. And that allows us, as we receive the Word, when someone says, you do too much works by praying and reading your Bible so much there at the prayer center. You guys pray and read. You should go do some more. Why don't you just say, hey, what do you have planned for dinner? Well, I'm going to eat tacos. Then you say, well, that's what I'm doing. It's not works. I'm just eating. I got to eat because if I don't eat, my spiritual body stays a babe. I don't want to stay a babe. I have a promise that we can have a revival of miracles and soundness of doctrine and of love and holiness. I have a promise. It doesn't mean I'm failing because I'm not there yet. It means I'm going there. But to get there, I have to feed my spiritual man so he grows from being a babe to a young adult to a father, so I grow into who God has for me to be. Amen? Let's keep walking. Don't beat yourself up where you are. Be grateful for where you get to go. The Word of God is true. And even if the natural mind is lying to you, it's a liar. Tie him up to the Word of God and say, here, now try to fight the Word, because the Word won't move. No matter how much evidence you want to give me, I believe the Word of God is true. Amen? Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll see you at 10 o'clock.